now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
Good news and bad news, girls. The good news is your dates are here.
What's the bad news?
They're dead.
Ah! See, a United States astro robot becomes a creature of death. Oh.
And Dave.
We have come here to this planet for one purpose only, to acquire breeding stuff to repopulate our planet.
He who breaks the law shall be punished. Back to the House of Pain.
Back to the House of Pain.
Hello everyone and welcome to Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-movie podcast from class to cults, all the cheese in between, the movies are beeped, the entertainment is grade A. Now, I'm your host, Jason Jack Kennedy, and this time we're going back to camp for the seventh time. It is Friday the 13th, Part 7, The New Blood, and I'll get to it right after this.
This is the one you've been waiting for.
What's happening to me?
Your psychokinesis and these delusions.
No, you're not listening to me!
The one you've been asking for.
Hey, Tina, isn't this the way they wear their jackets back in the mental hospital?
Concentrate, Tina!
The one you've been dying for.
You people give me the creeps.
Okay, you big hunk of a man, come and get me!
Jason is back. But this time, someone is waiting. Part 7, The New Blood.
There goes the neighborhood.
Friday the 13th, Part 7, The New Blood, opened May 13th, 1988, with an 88-minute running time. Your director here is John Carl Butchler. Now, John Carl Butchler, of course, you might know him from films like he directed Troll, Cave Dweller, Ghoulies 3, Ghoulies Go to College, things like that. He was big, mostly part of Charles Band's Empire Pictures and stuff. And then he was a makeup effect artist, too. That's right. From Beyond, Prison, Nightmare on Elm Street 4. That's the big one where you probably know him from. And then, Halloween 4, Return of Michael Myers, and then Hatchet. This is written by Miguel Fidello and Daryl Haney. Characters, of course, based on was Victor Miller's. Your producer was Ian Patterson. Your main star here is Lar Park Lincoln. She is literally the big. I mean, Kane Hodder's Jason. But she is the big star here. You also have Kevin Blair, Susan Blue, Terry Kaiser, Elizabeth Catan. It's just a lot of kids to get slaughtered up. Your cinematographer is Paul Elliott. Music by, of course, Harry Manfredini and Fred Mullin. Your distribution, of course, none other than Paramount Pictures. And here's why we got Part 7, folks. Budget, $2.8 million. Box office, $19.2 million. These movies made money. All right, so You've heard me talk about this. This is my favorite Friday the 13th movie because this is Jason versus Carrie. Even though it's not called Jason versus Carrie, it is Jason versus Carrie. And that's one of the reasons why I love this movie so much, is because it literally has Tina, who is Carrie White, stand in fighting Jason. So you have a psychic who has telekinetic powers. She can use that against Jason and stuff. And this has the best looking Jason of all time. Full on zombie Jason. Better than part 6. Way better than part 8. But this is the best looking Jason of the whole time. Anyway. Alright, so let's take a look here. After witnessing her alcoholic father, John, physically abuse her mother, Amanda, a young Tina Shepherd attempts to escape the chaos at home and heads out onto Crystal Lake in a boat. When John follows her in an attempt to stop her, Tina's dormant telekinetic abilities emerge and she accidentally destroys a dock John is standing on and causes him to fall in the lake and drown. Yes, we open the movie with a father killing, because why not? Friday the 13th movie. Years later, a teenage Tina is still struggling with the remorse surrounding John's death. Amanda takes her to the same lakeside residence as part of her treatment for the psychiatrist, Dr. Cruz. He begins a series of experiments, verbal assaults, designed to agitate Tina's mental state, forcing her powers to become more pronounced. So he's really trying to he's rage baiting her before there was rage baiting. That's what it is. While Dr. Cruz claims to be treating Tina, in reality, he is only trying to exploit her psychic powers. After a particularly upsetting session with Dr. Cruz, Tina runs from the cabin and to the dock and thinking about John's death. While she thinks about him, she wishes he would come back. Her powers unwittingly unwake and mass murderer Jason Voorhees, who is there from the last one, who had been chained to the bottom of Crystal Lake by Tommy Jarvis 7 years prior. And he emerges from the water to commit another killing spree. Now, this is fully decayed Jason. You can see all the stuff, and his back's all been chewed apart. Like, his mask is totally smashed up on his face. He is completely rotted and bloated and just icky. It's just the best. This is literally my favorite makeup. Next door to the Shepherd Residence is a group of teens who are throwing a birthday party for their friend Michael. The group includes Michael's cousin Nick, Preppy Russell and his girlfriend Sandra, Ben and his girlfriend Kate, sci-fi writer Eddie, stoner David, perky Robin, shy Maddie, and snobby socialite Melissa. Because why not have everyone there? Yeah, this is, again, I know a lot of people are like, oh, it's such a trope having all these different characters. They wouldn't all be friends. Yeah, but you had to have them in the movie because you're trying to get everyone to watch the movie, guys. That's where you want to have people go. Nick, who has just arrived for the party, becomes attracted to Tina, much to Melissa's chagrin. Melissa attempts to break up Nick and Tina, even going as far as kissing Eddie to make Nick jealous, but her schemes are to no avail other than making Eddie feel spurned thereafter. Tina tells Nick about Jason and has a vision of him murdering Michael. Meanwhile, Jason kills Michael and his girlfriend Jane, later murdering Dan and Judy Williams, another couple camping in the woods as well. Now, this movie features the sleeping bag wrapped in, and he smashes into the tree. They would later make fun of that in Jason X when he would take the girl in the sleeping bag and beat the other girl to death with her. The uncut version of it is so much better. I mean, it's cut here, and your kind of mind fills it all in. I've seen the uncut stuff they had, especially during the Crystal Lake Memories documentary series. If you've never watched those, sit down and watch them. They're amazing. But yeah, it's just funny. I love when he just beats... I mean, it's funny. Jason X makes fun of it, where he just like beats them to death with the other girl in the sleeping bag. But just put it in the sleeping bag, zip it up, and wrap it around the tree. So when Tina goes off with Nick to find Amanda, Jason proceeds to kill the other teens one by one. Russell and Sandra go to the lake for a swim. When Sandra goes skinny dipping, Russell is killed with an axe to the face. Sandra discovers his body before she is pulled under the water and drowns. Because that's how we do it. You're a drowner. Maddie goes looking for David, but finds Russell's body. She runs for help, but Jason attacks her in a nearby barn, killing her with a sickle. Jason then kills Ben by crushing his skull, and Kate by driving a party horn into her eye. Inside the house, Jason stabs David and slices Eddie's neck open. Upstairs, Robin finds David's severed head and is defenestrated to death. When Jason attacks Dr. Cruz, he's saved by using Amanda as a human shield, but Jason eventually kills him with a bush cutter. Okay, so the bush cutter is not a, like, there's nothing in the world like this. It's super long. It has a saw blade at the end. They said they had never seen anything like this, but they wanted to make it look over the top, so they made this thing up, this prop for the movie, and it's really funny, actually. But it's like, holy crap, that's a little overkill, and he just buzzes the doctor. Now, his death scene is cut way, way down. You just see him kind of hit the stomach, and he's dead. Much more was filmed, but all cut, obviously. Tina finds Amanda's body shortly after and uses her powers to electrocute Jason and crash part of the house down on him. When Nick and Tina try to tell Melissa what happened, she thinks that they're crazy and tries to leave, but Jason kills her with an axe to the face and then throws her away. Just literally throws her across the room. Nick tries to fight off Jason, but is quickly subdued. Tina unleashes her powers, breaking Jason's mask, which is so cool, exposing his disfigured and decomposing face. The best makeup ever. As the battle rages on, the Shepherd Lake House is destroyed by an explosive fire, and the attack continues on the dock. Now, when they blew up the house, they loaded it all up with the explosives, but there's guys smoking in there, whatever. And they were like, this place is rigged to blow, and it's going to explode. And they're like, oh, we probably shouldn't smoke in here. So when they blow it up, they counted for how much explosives they need, so they packed it way, way too full, and they blew it up, and it was one shot, completely obliterated, nothing left. It was heard towns over. It was way too big. The cops were like, what did you guys do? It was so funny. And we watch it blow up on screen, you're like, wow, that's a big explosion. Yep. And they were like, well, that was way too strong. And they made sure everyone was okay afterwards. Like, we should have not done that. Right here. So, although Tina is unable to kill Jason, she focuses and summons the spirit of her father, who rises from the lake and drags Jason back down with him to the depths of Crystal Lake, chaining the serial killer once more. The following morning, Tina and Nick are taken away in an ambulance. A firefighter finds Jason's mask in the wreckage, and the screen fades to black as Jason's whispers can be heard in the distance. That thing. Anyway, yeah, so if I have a problem with this, again, I love this movie. It's so cheesy. I know it's not a great film. You don't have to come at me. I get it. This is no Citizen Kane, guys. But the dad coming back and bringing Jason back into the lake, I don't know. He's kind of just dirty looking. You would expect him to be kind of bloated and like a dead body too. But, okay. I mean, if that's where I got to draw the line of what I, you know, don't love about this movie, then that's fine. I think the main thing here is that, one, everyone knows kind of, well, you should know. At this point, I've already mentioned it a million times. I love Carrie. I love the movie Carrie, the book Carrie. And, of course, I love Jason Voorhees in the Friday the 13th series. So the crossover makes perfect sense to me. I also love the makeups in this movie. The Jason Voorhees, Jason's whole costume with being able to see his ribs in the back and the decaying flesh. It's such zombie Jason, and I absolutely just adore it. And I think that's maybe why some people who don't particularly care for this movie have, you know, kind of stated the obvious that the story's not super deep. It's kind of like, you know, this doesn't make sense or whatever. I kind of overlook some of those flaws because I just enjoy so much of it. And that's part of the thing. When you have a movie you like, you can kind of maybe overlook some of the flaws. That's one of the things that we've been talking about a lot of times here. Is just because a movie's like a 5-star, you know, out of like, if it's 5 out of 5 stars, does it mean it has to be, and it's technically a great movie, doesn't mean you actually have to like it. And that's the hard part, because you can like movies that are not technically well-made or amazing pieces of film, but if it's what you like, then it's what you like, you know? I don't see why that has to be a problem. I know some people make that a problem, but, you know, some people just really need to just build a bridge and get over themselves too. Anyway, the soundtrack, obviously we talked about the music from the movie. It was released on the soundtrack album by Harry Manfredini and Fred Mullin was actually released back in October 30th of 2020, as part of a film score. This is part of every set collection, whatever. So, this movie was not screened for reviewers before because it got kind of lower scores. Because a lot of people didn't, they're like, seventh part in this. And we're at the point where we're in the seventh movie of the franchise. And everyone felt it was kind of weak. And they didn't like the finale of the movie. And I don't know, guys. Like, I mean, if we're at this point in Friday the 13th, you know, like, once we got to six, you knew seven was coming. I mean, eight's going to happen next. It's like, I don't know. I don't know what people are expecting from the Friday the 13th series at this point. But, you know, the problem is that, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure what else to say. This is, you know, this is what I enjoy. This is the one that I look forward to. So I'm going to guarantee you, I know Dad's never seen this. He would not like this movie because he would be like, they're so stupid. This is dumb. He probably would appreciate the Jason makeups because it's a great looking makeup. But I think he would kind of think it's crazy. He definitely would appreciate them blowing up a house, though, completely obliterating the house, like just the overkill. Be like, that's insane. But yeah, I mean, this is what it is. So do you remember Friday the 13th? Did you see this one in the theaters? Because so as we all know, I've mentioned this before. Neither Luke nor I were allowed to watch Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street or any of those things, those movies, because not because we weren't able to watch horror movies, because we watched tons and tons and tons of horror movies, but because my dad felt they weren't very good. So since they weren't very good, he didn't want us wasting our time watching this garbage. So we didn't waste our time watching this garbage, you know, however you want to look at it, right? And that's kind of where that is. It's funny in that. You know, now being loving these movies so much in that 80s kind of stuff, neither Luke nor I, when we were really young, cut our teeth on these. But, you know, we definitely saw Aliens in the theater. We saw Predator. I saw The Thing when I was like 4 years old, you know, kind of thing, whatever, 5 years old, whatever. Like, you know, like, though it's not we couldn't see these movies. We saw The Omen way too when we were, you know, really young. We saw The Exorcist, things like that. But you notice what I'm saying. The type of movie I'm saying is those are considered to be quote unquote quality movies, and these were kind of trashy kind of movies. So that's one of the reasons why we were never exposed to them at a younger age. Plus, my dad didn't really enjoy them, so why would he have them if we, you know, didn't want to watch them? But now I get to pick what I watch, and that's why I'm trying to get Dad to, you know, I had Dad start watching them, obviously, when Dad was able to do the show with me. And, you know, he was able to admit, he's like, yep, I can see the formula. I can see this thing. You understand where the tropes come from and where formulas come from because they're established through the whole process of doing this. So anyway, do you have memories of Friday the 13th Part 7? You know, do you like this one? Do you hate this one? I'd love to hear from you guys. You know, always feedback is always welcome. You know, I'm here wanting to, you know, hear from you guys and let me know what you think. You know, I mean, you know, were you a big Part 6 guy and then didn't love Part 7? Were you a big, I don't know, I've never heard anyone who's a big Part 8 guy yet. But I know there's people who love Part 5. They love that one, even though that's not even Jason, it's Roy as the killer. But, anyway. All right, folks, so that about does it for me here. I could ramble all day, but, you know, it's the summer. You should get outside and, like, you know, do something constructive with your life. And so should I. I shouldn't just be sitting here rambling on and on into the ether. So like we say, keep those cards and letters coming and keep watching the skies.
This is Tokyo, once a city of 6 million people. What has happened here was caused by a force which up until a few days ago was entirely beyond the scope of man's imagination. Tokyo, a smoldering memorial to the unknown, an unknown which at this very moment still prevails and could at any time lash out with its terrible destruction anywhere else in the world.
Hi, folks. Luke Giaconetti here. I'd like to ask you a few questions. Do you like giant monsters, or as they're called in Japan, Daikaiju? Monsters like Godzilla, Rodan, Gamera, King Ghidorah, or Mothra? Do you like more obscure monsters, such as Gappa or Yangari? Do you like giant heroes like Ultraman or super robots like the Shogun Warriors? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then I think you might like my podcast, Earth Destruction Directive. I'm a dedicated fan of all things Daikaiju, and I'd like to share that with all of you. Please check out Earth Destruction Directive at TwoTrueFreaks.com. Earth Destruction Directive, where we turn your Daikaiju dreams into city-smashing reality.
This has been an episode of Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-Movie Podcast. If you'd like to contact me, please email the show at botsbugsbabes@gmail.com. If you'd like to find me online, I'm on Facebook under my name, Jason Giaconetti. I often contribute to the Two True Freaks Facebook group. You can visit my Facebook page, The Art of Horror Collective, and you can search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective. On Instagram, find me under my name, Jason Giaconetti, and search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective, as well as the new hashtag Bots Bugs Babes Podcast. I'm the only one using them. I'm also on Twitter at Jason Giaconetti, and you can visit my webpage at www.theartofhorrorcollective.wordpress.com. All movies, characters, stories, music, etc. are properties of their respective holders. This is a fan work, and any use of any property is purely for review, discussion, entertainment. So don't sue me. I ain't got anything anyway.
There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow!
Will you stop?